This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
We are four friends in three states across two time zones with a shared passion. Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we hit the fast lane to discuss our favorite drives, from the track and the ice to the court and the ball fields. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those last liability changes, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Hey, welcome back, Sports Talk Garage podcast listeners. This is your host, Matt, along with co-host David. Unfortunately, tonight, John is not able to make it to the studio as he's in travel mode. We want to thank all of our listeners for joining us. Hopefully, you haven't been affected by the virus that's going around right now. But we certainly appreciate you tuning in to listen with us. We'll try to get some good content, take you away from all the craziness of the world out there. So, David, how are we doing today?
Oh, wonderful. Actually, working from home for an indefinite period of time. So that's a little change in my world right now. But things are good. And yeah, kind of to mention, as you said, with all the craziness in the world, hopefully, you know, a few minutes of laughter and thoughts about our crazy takes on sports and what goes on will brighten your day a little bit.
Absolutely. So this is season 2, episode 30. We're going to go into talking about a question we got from one of our listeners, John Miller, and his big question was around the instant replay. You know, we're going to talk a little bit back and forth about what we think and, you know, how this is going to affect the sport. So here's his exact question. Knowing that you guys talk about things from a fan's perspective, I would love to know your thoughts on instant replay. Are you for it? Why or why not? So, David, why don't we go through the four major sports in the U.S. that definitely cover having a replay?
Certainly. Yeah, John, thanks for saying that question. And instant replay is one of those things that people have very polar opposite opinions on. Most people love it or hate it. There doesn't seem to be much in between here. Just to kind of answer that briefly, I certainly like it. I think it's valuable. It certainly helps correct some of the human error in a game, but over the past few years, I think it's gone a little far. We're becoming a little less human and more just technical, and technology is kind of overriding that whole process. But we'll definitely get more into that as we go along.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to go ahead and start by saying I think it's one of those things, as David said, that as we continue to grow with these sports, it certainly has extended games. Would you agree?
Oh, certainly. I mean, when you go to a game, I don't think it's as bad because you're sitting there. But when you're sitting at home watching on TV, you've already got a game that's anywhere from 2 to 3.5 hours, depending on what you're watching. These instant replays, they just slow it down. They add on what I feel like is unnecessary time because it just delays it. It can kill momentum, which is not really trackable, but you could definitely tell when that momentum swings from a team just stopping, and all of a sudden the other team kind of gets it coming back a little bit because, you know, stoppage in play.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so when you talk about what these guys are reviewing, how long it takes to review, David and I actually went to the NFL Hall of Fame over in, was it Canton or Akron?
Yeah.
Canton, okay. Ohio. I always get those two mixed up. So one of the neat, pieces that they had in there was you could stick your head under the booth and be a referee under the review for a minute. And they gave you a couple different opportunities. And I want to say David and I were perfect on all our calls.
Yes,
you know,
were.
Compared to what the booth ended up calling in the end. You know, they give you a situation. They tell you this is what we're reviewing. You get to watch it a few times. And when you're ready, you tell them what your decision is through pressing a command on the screen, and it'll tell you what the command, or I'm sorry, what the final decision was on the field. So again, we were perfect. So, you know, saying that we should probably be paid big bucks to, you know, sit up in a booth in New York, right?
NFL, I hope you're listening there.
Absolutely. So let's start with football, just because we're there right now. NFL games especially are always a big entertainer, bringing money. We've talked about this 100 times, but the time that these guys get, because each coach gets what, two challenges?
Two challenges, and if they get both correct, they get a third challenge.
Okay.
So you could have up to what, six challenges in a game potentially from a
Potentially.
coach only, not even from the refs.
Which in the NFL, every touchdown is reviewed, correct?
Yeah, every touchdown, every scoring play, every turnover is reviewed. So that's not even considering anything that a coach can review outside of those mandatory reviews.
And I think one of the things to note also is it's not just the referees that are at home, it's also the booth up in New York.
Yeah, so just a
So
few big numbers with that. In 2018, in the NFL, there were 39,382 total plays. That's a lot of plays. With that, only 349 reviewed, so 0.9% of the total offensive output for the NFL that season was reviewed. Most common, 75 pass completions, 42 runners broke the plane, and 40 incomplete passes. So 0.9% of all plays. Yet that seems huge when you're watching a game and it just slows down and stops. And these calls, even with all the technology, you still feel like sometimes they don't get it right. And then it's supposed to help create or fix that human error. And it doesn't always do it here. It seems like it creates more controversy. Like, did he catch the pass? Well, some say yes, some say no. What is a catch pass or a caught pass there?
yep. So, this is definitely something that I think almost is getting out of hand at this point. I think we've gone back and said several times during games as we've talked back and forth, let them play, just let it go. But then again, when they put in these replays, right, like we missed a couple really big ones, what, 2 Super Bowls ago? That turned the game away from the Saints, costing the
Oh,
entire thing.
yeah, that was the it's the NFC Championship game. Yeah, the Saints should have been pass interference, not pass interference. But again, the other team, Vikings, say no, of course not. That's not pass interference. And yeah, it pretty much swung the game right there for him.
Right. And of course, there are pieces that can be reviewed, don't have to be reviewed. The booth can call for the review, as David said. So, John, if I'm looking at football, I'm going to say, in direct answer to your question, I am for the replay. I do think that there are some big instances that make a lot of difference. Because even college has that ability, and now it's starting to seep down into high school, which, maybe for big games like state championships, I'd give them that. But, you're talking about, again, a lot of extra time that's being spent. They keep adding and subtracting. Well, I wouldn't even say subtracting. They keep adding to the things that they can go back and review. And part of me just says that's a, potential time for them to get some extra commercials in, if anything
Well,
else.
some ad time. And you mentioned college. One thing that really sticks out to me is in the NFL, every stadium has the camera angles. They're built to put this event on television. At college, you think of something like Ohio State and Alabama and Texas, where it's a huge production. But then you
The
have some of these
powerhouses.
smaller G5 schools that don't have the right setup, don't have the camera angles, maybe not the high def TV. Where when you go look at the replay, it might not have the same technology. So does that create an unfair advantage for these big schools because they're probably going to get the right call compared to these smaller schools that don't have the tech to keep up with the big schools? Like, is there a difference in overturn plays? Are there more challenges? That would be an interesting thing to see some stats on somewhere. But
Gotcha. So, where do you feel like you fit on this question?
so, I mean, I like the whole iteration of instant replay. I feel like the NFL is continuing to add more and more stipulations on what it can be, what it can't be. I don't really want it to evolve much more than where it is, but I think it's certainly good in football to make sure you're getting the right call. More times than not, I feel like refs do get it right. And of course, there's going to be those times where fans are angry, but fans are always going to be angry at refs or something.
Well, sure. Well, let's move from football and talk about the baseball side. So they were one of the last groups to really add, of the major four we're going to talk about, they were one of the last groups to really add this, at least in the majors. So the instant replay was first kind of implemented in the 2008 system. And at that time, only the umpire crew chief could initiate a review, and one or more of the members of the umpire crew would review the video at the stadium and give a decision whether they were going to uphold or overturn the call. But only boundary home run calls could be reviewed.
Shoot, that's crazy. You know what? Baseball's that old-timey sport I think of. I went to a minor league baseball game last season, and I saw a gentleman sitting there with this big card out and a pencil, and he was keeping track of strikes and balls and pitches, and the whole game was on his card with a paper and piece of pen. Like, it's still kind of that old school sport, and I can see why they're slow to adopt new change like instant replay. It's certainly, again, beneficial. I think it's probably going to expand a lot more in baseball after the Astros cheating scandal. I think that's going to be a big tipping point to make sure that they're not just looking for instant replay, but looking for things like that. Are signals getting crossed somewhere? Are people finding things? Are banging on trash cans? Simple thing right there.
Yeah. So, okay, when we look at baseball, because maybe we should talk about this real quick. Since 2014, there's been an update to a new system in which each manager is allotted a one challenge per game. And similar to football, they get an additional challenge granted or additional challenges only if the previous one was successful. So they're allowing for more, I think they're letting these guys give a true meaning to, be very careful on what you challenge here, right?
Yeah, and it kind of rewards them for knowing the rules, getting it correct there. I like it.
But after the eighth inning, the umpire crew chief's allowed to initiate his own replay review, and he's also allowed to initiate a review during any inning if the play in question is a boundary home run call.
I like that.
So yeah, so it sounds to me like they're giving them a little bit more, I want to say, some rule book to work with on how to do this without it taking forever. Because I definitely feel like this is one of those things where, they've got all the camera angles as well, right? But at the same time, you've got several umpires coming together. You've got, the crew chief that makes the final call. So it's very similar to football. At the same time, it just feels to me like it's a bigger arena for you to have to come through and see and really look, because you don't have as many guys. In football, you've got a lot of different things they can call it on, but you've got a ton of people that you have to kind of look over and angles because of the action you're seeing. I could be wrong here, but I feel like baseball is one of those sports where, we're kind of looking at the ball and was it. Some of it feels kind of ridiculous. Others on these calls feel like they'd be really important
Yeah, and
because we're looking at the ball, not necessarily the players.
with that, I feel like some of those calls are very subjective. Like, was it really between the knees and the chest? Was it inside? Was it outside the zone? Did it cross the foul line here? So, I mean, I feel like baseball could be one of the more subjective sports. The one thing I really don't like is baseball is a rather slow game as it is. There's not a lot of action like there are in the other sports we're talking about, where guys move around, and the attention span in America is so short nowadays that people are just moving from one item to the next to the next. And this just slows down just a little bit more. And if anything, I'd like baseball to speed up some. I don't know what the proper answer to do that is. But instant replay is certainly hurting that speed.
Yeah. So I know I've got friends that are very, very big baseball fans, and I know that they, were super disappointed over the last couple days with the season being pushed back. I mean, it was, we won't call it a religion, but they were definitely waiting for this, season to really get going. I know, even in the minor leagues, especially in like the Midwest and some colder areas, it's a big deal to show up no matter what the weather is. Like if it's going to be nice out, the whole town shows up for this, for season opener. So, this is really a sad moment for these guys. But you know, again, to me, it's one of those sports where I enjoy watching it, but I'd rather be at the game, not on
Definitely.
TV.
Yeah, and part of being at the game
Okay.
is just, you know, hanging out with fans, other people in stands, and seeing all the entertainment on around the stadium between innings, between, you know, offense, defense going out. It's a different experience at the ball field than certainly just sitting at home in your recliner watching the game. I agree with that.
Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and oh, okay, so let's talk about review. I do like the baseball review system for this one. I do think it's a good idea. You know, I think that especially with the changes in 2014, where they've kind of put some more directive on what the coaches can challenge as well as how they're playing out additional challenges after that. I do like that system. So I'm going to say that I'm for it with the baseball calls at this point.
So this one, I'm going to say I'm actually not with an asterisk. I'm not because it slows down the game even more than it already is, and it's already tough to watch if you're not at the stadium. The asterisk, though, I think it needs it because obviously it's going to make those correct calls. There just needs to be a better way to do it. Maybe set a everything has to be within 30 seconds or some type of time limit there just to keep the game going because it's already a slower paced game than some other sports that we're talking about. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah. All right. So we'll split views. Let's move on to basketball. So again, I think the majors is kind of where we'll be all the rest of this, just because these are where we're going to see the most of the money being put into reviews. So the NBA started in 2002. That's actually when they started doing the LED light strips in the backboard and at the scorers table, just in case it needed to be reviewed about a shot getting off before the buzzer, right? So in game four of 2002's Western Conference Finals, the LA Lakers forced Maki Walker makes a 3-point field goal from half court at the end of the second quarter. However, the replay showed that Walker's shot was late and that ball was still in his hands when the clock expired. So after that, the replay kind of started coming into use. Now, for the fun stuff, in 2007 and 2008, they allowed it to be used in determining players being ejected from contests involving brawls or flagrant fouls.
I'm assuming
And in
that's
the
run our
next
test.
season, yeah, there you go. Meta World Peace.
Metal
I
world peace.
haven't heard that name
Yes,
forever.
sir.
So in the next season, 08-09, the replay could also be used to determine whether a scored field goal is worth 2 or 3 points. Correct number of free throws awarded for a missed field goal could also be used in cases where the game clock malfunctions and play continues to decide how much time to take off the clock. And in 2014, the NBA consolidated its replay work in remote instant replay center to support officials in multiple games. So again, we go back to New York being able to kind of trump everything.
Yeah, so I like it. One thing I didn't think about before we started this is that LED strip behind the basket. That has probably got to be one of the best additions to any instant replay because you're just looking at is the light on or off? I mean, it's very simple. Yes or no. Is the ball in the hand for the 3-point, 2 pointer? Are they on the line? And obviously, as we get better cameras and high def TV, it's going to make it even easier. One thing that I love. But I actually hate if I were a referee. There are so many options or items in the NBA that can trigger an instant replay. There are 15 different situations under NBA's rule number 13, but there are over 60 reviewable matters. How in the world is a referee going to remember, oh, yeah, that's one of those 60 plus matters that I can review? Or, actually, that one's not, so we'll just keep playing. How do you keep
Is
all that in
this
your
does
mind?
this make so does this make the head referee almost have to be a super seasoned veteran as a referee in order to get that position? It doesn't have to
I
be that they're
would,
good at their job and make those calls, right?
yeah,
Because you know the playbook, but what all
yeah.
can we review?
I mean, that's just ridiculous. I'm sure that each referee has to go through a certain number of years and pass tests, get a certain percentage of calls right to be a head ref, but that's just ridiculous to me that there's so many things that can be reviewed in an NBA game. And there's so many situations I can just say, oh, yep, we can review it. Oh, no, sorry, I just got to play through. I would hate to be in that position to be a ref because if you miss it, or if you, I don't know, that's just not my cup of tea right there. One thing that is good, they have actually sped up the process. In 2016, which is the last year data was available, the average review time dropped from 42.1 seconds from the year before to 31.9. So half a minute is leading, I guess, time for review from the four sports we're talking about. So their NBA is doing it the fastest. So props to them for that, for getting the game going again.
I don't know how you can expand it so far. I think basketball is one of those ones that needs to have some rules reviewed. Take the playbook and let's go back over some of these ridiculous ones, such as the Duke Carolina game.
Oh
You
my
know, you cause an
gosh.
injury to the shooter, and
The opposing
if the
coach.
shooter can't actually shoot, the coach of the team that caused the injury gets to choose the
Yeah.
next shooter. I mean,
So the
you know, if you
culprit is
know
being
that as a
rewarded.
coach, right? If you know that as a coach, tell me if you've got, you know, you're coming up on the last, you know, minute, and you know if you could somehow pin this guy between two people and throw an elbow when it looks good. I mean, dude, make it look good. I know that's hard with timing and stuff, but come on, you're letting him decide. So versus all this, I think basketball, I'm not a huge fan of the replay. I think if you stuck it down to a handful of things, like five or six, such as what I talked about when they originally instituted, did it come off before the buzzer? Did it, you know, was it a 2 or 3 point shot? Those are pretty easy to tell if his foot was on the line or not by two angles, you know? So I'm not a fan of this. I think it's one of those things. I think this is a sport that needs to review their own rules and their own replay rules.
So I actually didn't think you were going to go that way, but I'm somewhat siding with you there. I think it needs to be simplified to an extent, and I believe it's only gotten more complicated just because we have the technology to track things of did this happen, yes or no? Do we need to overturn it, yes or no? And I think technology has driven it to a point where just because we can do it, they're doing it, but that doesn't necessarily mean we should. So I'll go with you that's saying that I don't like it just because it's gotten so technical and so intense. Simplify the process and just get back to the game some. Play the game.
So, you know, I feel like at this point we kind of need John here because I feel like this is where he picks a side opposite of us
John, stop
in most of
traveling.
what we say. One of us, he tends to side with, and the other
Yeah.
one gets to have the debate. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to hockey. So I think one of the biggest things in hockey, because it being a smaller arena, you've got several referees already in play that, you know, these are guys that are jumping out of the way as a puck comes flying across at high speeds. You know, what is there to review?
Yeah, there's not a ton necessarily. I think this is probably one of the easier sports to have reviews. I mean, there's like contact to the head, a puck shot out of play in the defensive zone, hand passes. So it's very minor things that aren't going to happen all that often, which makes it feel like the game is continually going on. And certainly good. I don't really have much of a problem or see a lot of benefit to the NHL review system or instant replay. I don't really feel like it slows the game down. A lot, from what I was able to find, a lot of referees or I guess review teams get the play correct. So I think it's in a pretty good spot right now. Just because, like we said with the NBA, it needs to be simplified, it's pretty simple here because they don't have a whole lot that they actually review, which I like.
Well, I feel like it's one of those things that, you know, there's not, it's a constant fluid sport, right? There's only a few places where they really have to pull the puck back and do drops and, you know, go for that again. And usually you've got a referee right over top of it. Plus, you know, these guys get to fight. Tell me another sport where these guys get to duke it out.
mean, other than
So,
boxing, yeah. But seriously, like you're right. I
right.
mean, that's part of the game here. Like, go fight, hit some guy in the face, and just do it. Doesn't matter. They're not
Right.
looking to see, hey, who
It's
started? Who threw the first punch? They don't care.
right. So when you look at the things they can pull back, obviously, I think the most important is the video goal judge when you look at how these guys can dispute a goal. You know, and obviously, there are things like being in the net knocking the goalie into the net and stuff. Like, you can't just tackle the guy in and slide the puck past his skates.
That would be cool, though.
So, you know, this guy gets – basically, he gets the option to make some of these calls. And if it's disputed, his word is final. At the same time, now we can see challenges go to Toronto for a final decision in what the officials are calling the Situation Room, or also known as the War Room.
Ooh. Just the name alone makes it better than any other sport. I like that.
But it just but it just says that all goals are subject to review. And even though most arenas have a video goal judge, they can still go to the War Room.
Yeah.
So again, we're not sending it up to New York for small weird things and letting them call it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go back to football with Ohio State this year, and you know, New York made all the calls compared to the guys on the field. but going back to hockey, you know, this is one where I feel like I enjoy the instant replay because it's not really used.
Yeah.
It doesn't really extend the game. There seems to be a lot easier things to decide whether you're going to use it, and you're not getting interference from, in this case, Toronto. It mm-hmm. can be, but I feel like it's one of those things that they have to actually need it to get it.
And I hope the NHL does not go the way of the NBA and NFL and just continue to add more just because it's available. Just because it's here doesn't mean you should do it, NHL. Stick with the little guy.
Was it a slap shot? Did he put his hand over before he hit it? Oh, that's a wrong. No. Mm-mm. He didn't punch him in the face. He punched him in the gut. No. Can't have the fight. But, you know, they're both out. I'm pretty sure that was already put in the rules. You know, there's. Okay. I'll stop. Okay. So with that, I hope we answered your questions, John. Let's go ahead and drop Yellow Flag, take a quick sponsor break. We always appreciate them. Giving a good word. So let's do that real quick, and we'll be right back to go over some of our predictions. Hey, welcome back, Sports Talk Garage podcast listeners. This is again Matt, co-host David. Once again, as we mentioned earlier, John is not able to join us tonight as he is in travel mode. So in the first half of the show, we talked about an audience question we got from John Miller. Again, thank you for that, in which David and I went over what the four major sports in the U.S. of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey look like. When we go over instant replay, we gave you our thoughts on what we liked and didn't like about it. So here's the fun part. As we talk about our recap that we've been doing with our prediction status, we're a little concerned about how we're going to be able to keep doing that right now. So we're going to go over what happened, I guess, and what we kind of want to do going forward. David, I'll let you take over on this one.
So, man, this is definitely the most interesting week we have had so far doing this. We had some great games actually picked out for this week. We had the ACC tournament. An NBA game between the Lakers and Bucks, XFL game, and the F1 Grand Prix in Australia. Unfortunately, with everything going on around the coronavirus, everything is literally being canceled for like the next 2 months. And so you might find like a random like darts game on ESPN 8 or something of a replay from 2018. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what ESPN does. So I think we're going to go on a little hiatus with our co-host prediction challenge and pick it back up whenever the sports world gets back to normal. In place of that, though, just to recap standings, actually, Chris is going to be sitting at 9-7. I am at 7-9. John is at 5-11. Matt is leading the way somehow at 11-5. But audience, you are currently in second place at 10-6. So you will pick up there once we resume.
Just to be fair, though, when we were talking about this for the ACC tournament, we had a couple options of, who was it, Duke, Florida State,
and Louisville in the field.
Louisville or the field. And I asked if I could claim the field being – with that being said, the tournament did get canceled. They wouldn't give me that. You know, they said the field is a field. We're not going to let you – But then all of a sudden they start trying to tell me that because Carolina won the first game that they win the whole thing because they're the only ones who played. So,
right.
You know, I guess I'll let it slide that, you know, nobody got a score on that one. But, you know, I think that they were prejudiced against me. So
somebody's always crying over there.
So in this case, I guess we'll do something a little different. Since David and I are the only ones on right now, what we're going to do is have a quick rapid fire question. Our producer, Chris, is about to send us some stuff over. So let's see. Question number one, who do you think Tom Brady signs with? David, go. You have 30 seconds.
Gosh. You know what? When this whole first thing started, he's going to be a free agent. I was like, you know what? He's going to leave. He's not leaving. They're making this whole thing up of he and Belichick aren't getting along. He's going to go back to New England, be a Patriot. He's never going to leave New England. You'll see him in the Patriot red, white, and blue whenever football starts. Hopefully in August. Hopefully it's not postponed, but yeah. Brady's going back to New England there. No worries, Patriot fans.
I just don't see it. They, you know, if he wanted to sign it, he would have come back and said, I'm going to sign. All he said is that I'm going to play until I can't play anymore. Supposedly the 49ers are out. The Titans just got a signing in. So, you know, who's left right now?
Tampa Bay.
Aside from what you said of him just staying where he's been in history and fans getting what they want, I don't think it would be bad for him to be in Tampa Bay. Although all of his belongings and everything is still up in the north there, I'm sure he wouldn't mind having another house down in Florida for a while. And honestly, it's probably one of the best plays on income for him based on their tax situation. So I'm going to say he's going to end up at Tampa.
Oh, poor Panthers. I hope not.
Question two coming in. Who would have been your pick to win the NCAA tournament? Ooh,
oh,
that's tough.
Hurts.
I don't know if I should go first, but let's give it a run. I think with a lot of the bigger players, this is definitely one of those times where it, you know, it's any given night with the tournament. Gosh, that's hard. You know, all these teams, nobody was like a strong favorite. Kansas had the kind of big run, but even I think they were going to get beat. I think you're going to see maybe not a Cinderella team, but one of the ones you wouldn't expect. I think Dayton would have made a great long run. I think Liberty had a chance to get in there just a little bit. But I still think that you had a couple good teams, maybe. Gosh, I don't want to say Duke. Duke's not the right one. Duke's not the right one. I don't know that I could win just because I'm a fan and they could pull that together and tournament time is their thing. But I think the Seminoles would have made a deep run. I'm going to say, if nothing else, I'm going to say ACC would have, an ACC team would have. I can pick two.
ACC, there you go. Well, I kind of like that you mentioned Dayton, a number one seed. The number one seeds and two seeds were very strong in this tournament. And I am going to miss watching this because, you know, any given day, one team can get hot and win at the right time against the right opponent. Gonzaga, I hate going with the number one seed because they seem to always lose, but I think Gonzaga had a very good chance. They had an easy bracket, or I guess easy matchups in their region of the bracket, and they could have easily made it to the Final Four, and just depending who they were playing, probably could have taken the crown, so I'm sticking with Gonzaga for this one.
Well, you wouldn't be a bad guess there. I just like how the ACC plays basketball. I really do, and even though they tend to let me down, they still end up having deep runs, and I think it's hard to argue with that. Question three coming in. Let's see what Chris has for us. Did the Titans overpay Ryan Tannehill after they made him one of the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks? Now that's 4 years at $118 million. 62 of it was guaranteed after only 1 year, even though he led them to the playoffs. David, you're up.
So Tannehill was a bust in Miami with the Dolphins. Went to the Titans, and all of a sudden he's doing well. He replaced Mariota, made a deep playoff run. I think they definitely overpaid him based off of one season of success, when especially a lot of it was Derrick Henry, their running back. But also knowing the new CBA that was just approved and knowing that was probably going to get approved, I've heard rumors that the cap could go from 198 million to 400 million over the next few years. So
Jeez.
if so, they're locking him in at a very cheap rate compared to what it would be 4, 5, 6 years from now. So I still think they overpaid him no matter what, because you can't just pay one guy off of one season. That's ridiculous for that.
Oh, easily. Say what you want. I still think Tannehill is one of those game clock managers, Teddy Bridgewater style, who looks like he may be signing with John's Bears at this point. But I agree with David. He had some good weapons. He had a decent offensive line to work with, whereas Mariota just wasn't, for whatever reason, cutting it. And apparently he's on his way to Oakland now. But if you look back at the season and what Tannehill did, I don't know. Even if you looked forward and hope that the CBA was what it turned out to be, I still think they overpaid him. I think there's better talent out there. But you know what? That's why the coaches are the coaches and the GMs are the GMs.
And we don't have to write the checks.
That's it. Okay. Or sell the seats. Let's see. Chris, last question. He says, oh, David, you're going to like this one. You ready?
Go for
Rick
it.
Pitino was just announced as Iona's head coach. Iona? Like little Catholic school in New York, Iona?
That's the one. Little
Okay.
Iona.
He spent the last 2 years coaching in Greece after being dismissed from Louisville for recruiting violations. Those were some pretty intense ones, as I remember.
Yeah, about as bad as it gets.
Well, and he got caught. Do you think Pitino will eventually lead the Gaels, Iona Gaels, to their first NCAA tourney win since 1980?
None of us were even born at that point. That's crazy. Well, I'll start on that one. Let you think for a moment. Yes, easy answer is yes. Here's why. He's a great basketball mind. He did some really stupid things at Louisville. His reputation is pretty much trash right now. But he's going to take that little school. He's going to get them band together. That's probably the only place he could really go, a small school. No big school's going to take him back right now because of his reputation. So to get back into the college system, he has to start out at a small place. And I imagine he'll probably stay there for 2, 3, 4 years until some bigger school comes calling, and he'll probably bolt. But I could see them winning their championship and probably getting one of the play-in games, maybe a 15, 16 seed. So I think they'll make it maybe as soon as next year.
Oh man, you're dude, you're putting a lot of faith into
Optimism.
being able to do it
Optimism here.
into oh, dude, that's faith. Come on, man.
He's a smart man.
I get it. Like, I have nothing against him as a coach for how he puts together his playbook and what he's done with teams he's coached. Like, he's got a great record, right? But you're talking about a small school that, even though basketball isn't a super expensive sport, is in a huge competition area in New York. There's a lot of schools that are happy to recruit around. So you've got to go back to his name and his coaching, and I don't think it's one of those things that you hold against him for the violations he had, as a player and a parent, maybe, but, I don't know. If you've got a choice between, it's going to come down to his development skills. Let's put it that way. Because if you come down to a choice between Iona, who again hasn't won a game in the tourney since 1980, or a bigger Division One school that says they're going to give you the same amount of playing time, which one are you going to?
I'm sure the bigger school, he's going to take that guy who was under-recruited, the guy who got hurt towards ACL in his senior year, and take them, coach him up. That's going to be his plan.
So he's
Calling it
going to have to
right now.
spend the next 2 years at least really putting together the team that could give him something. So, do I think he'll eventually lead them to a tourney win? I think the question is how long are the bigger schools going to let him play in? Because even if he doesn't make the NCAA tourney, you know, I think he spends the first 2 years rebuilding. I think he ends up in the NIT for a year or two, and then he gets picked up to go somewhere else. So I'm going to say no.
Okay. See who's
Yeah,
right in a few years.
we'll be looking back at that answer as we forget about it over the next like 4 years. All right. So Chris said that's it for the night on Rapid Fire. I think I went over my 30 seconds, but let's go ahead and drop the checkered flag. I really enjoyed that episode. That was a lot of fun, David.
That was good. Yeah, I like these rapid fire questions in place of our pick 'em challenge while we're on a hiatus. Good job,
Yeah.
Chris.
Good job, Chris. So final thoughts. A little bit different method that we've used in the past with this second half of our show. Kind of hard to say we're looking forward to sport. Everybody's kind of at least looking to what changes are being made. I think the NFL seems to be sporting the most news right now, as everybody else is just kind of on hold, unfortunately.
Yeah, with that, I mean, free agency started, so that's at least something exciting. I know some people are upset that the NFL is still going, but at least for the sports news cycle, that's an exciting thing. Apparently, the draft is still being held. May not be anybody there but the draft picks and families, but at least it's still on track to be held in late April. So, something to look forward to. As for the upcoming time, I'm a little uncertain when things will actually get back to normal, but that's okay.
For all the families that are having their, you know, the NFL draft parties in their house and their,
Just
you know, family member is doing that, there's usually like 30 people in the background. Is that a problem?
the CDC is going to say no, please don't do that. So please stand 6 feet from each other. Yeah, no more than 10 people in the house at one time. You'll have to take turns going in and out.
Yep. I will say I am excited because I doubt at this point we're going to hold the basketball tournament, which is really a sad thing all the way across the board, but especially for the players. So I am excited that the NCAA is going to allow men's and women's basketball, as well as all spring sports, to have an extra year of eligibility. It just really stinks when you know, from experience, have put in all that time, hard work. You know, had a good season, maybe you didn't get any major injuries, and you have to give up potential of the tournament. So
And
I thought
it's
that was
also,
cool of them, though.
that's really good for all the spring sports. I was actually planning on going to a college baseball game this upcoming weekend where I live. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but for those players, they get an extra year of eligibility. So for all the seniors, I mean, I'm certainly happy for them because that would be a horrible way to end your career on season being canceled. So good job by the NCAA on that one.
All right, with that, let's go ahead and drop out for the night. We'd like to thank you again for listening. Please hit us up on any of our social media platforms. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions, please drop us a line. We'd be happy to go back and hopefully get your name involved as we answer your questions. But let us know what you think. David, again, thanks for your time. Let's go ahead and drop out. This is
As
Matt
always.
signing off.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.